I want you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of Exodus. I'm going to speak a little bit about what's on my heart. I'm thrilled, excited that we made the mission goal and went by it. And I'm excited about the commitment that we're going to make to burn the mortgage before the year's up. Now, it's all right if the rapture takes place first. But if not, I want to see that thing done and believe it can be. And I want to encourage you to be praying about it and asking God what he'd have you do. I've had several folks come to me saying, I know how we can make it. Well, I do too. There's a lot of ways. Somebody said to me Sunday morning, in fact, I think it was Brother Connolly there, said, Preacher, I tell you how we can make it. We'll get 300 people to give $1,000 apiece. That'd work. That's third grade arithmetic, but that'll work, right? So I think I said to him something like this, okay, you give $1,000, I'll give $1,000, now we need 298 more. That's the hard part. But there's a lot of ways to look at it. And what we'll do is ask God to take over that. And everybody can have a part. And while some can give more than others and will, everybody's gift counts. It all is important. It's all valuable. And it's God's plan. And so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about giving. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about doing it willingly. I want you to go to the book of Exodus with me. And we're going to look at a few verses here just to set a context. Exodus chapter 25. We see how this originates, and God uses the leader he's placed over the congregation here. He uses Moses. And so in chapter 25 of Exodus, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 1, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. Now, let me say this. We'll see here in the next few verses that God intended to build the tabernacle. Let me ask you, the God that created the heaven and the earth, don't you think he could have built the tabernacle without having to take up an offering from the congregation? I mean, couldn't he have spoken it into existence much easier than he did the creation? Sure, he could have. But he wanted to use the people. And that's what he did. Now go over with me to chapter 35 of Exodus. And watch the repeat of it now. Moses has got the message first from God. Now Moses is fixing to share that message with the children of Israel. So Exodus chapter 35, verse 4. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering. He didn't say, go off and get something you don't have. He said, take ye from among you. By the way, do you know why the children of Israel had something even out in the wilderness? Didn't God bless them to go out rich out of Egypt? I mean, God laid it on the hearts of the Egyptians and Pharaoh, so glad to get rid of them, but just gave them a bunch of stuff and sent them off. They still had that stuff. And so it says here, from among you. In other words, they had something among them. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. Let him bring it, and an offering of the Lord, gold, silver, brass. You know, your motive for giving is important. I have told you this before about the usher that was taking up the offering, and he was a little bit maybe slow in the eyes of a lot of people, or maybe a little crude. And a fella stuck in a $10 bill in the offering plate as it went by, and then he motioned the usher back, quick, come back. I put in a 10, and I thought it was a 1. The usher said, can't take nothing out of the plate. So the guy said, well, I'll get the blessing for giving 10. Anyway, the usher said, no, you'll only get a blessing for giving one. That's what your motive was. That's what your heart was. Now think that through a little bit. That's accurate. God also judges our motive. He also knows how much is among us, how much we could. And notice he keeps repeating, a willing heart, a willing heart, a willing heart. That's the way God is looking at this thing. So Moses repeats the command then to the people. And then as you get over a little bit further here in chapter 36, pick it up with me in about verse 5. Chapter 36, still Exodus. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough. Boy, most preachers would love to hear that, wouldn't they? Yeah. The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded. Look at it down in verse 7. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it. And boy, look at the next line. And too much. They brought too much. Moses had to stop them, so to speak, from continuing. They gave too much. Now, there's some truths we ought to get from this. And here's one truth we ought to get. Worship all the way through the Bible had to do with giving. It had to do with giving. And it still does. The Bible says in the New Testament that where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. You know where our hearts were this Christmas? Probably on loved ones, families. Oh, that's good. That's where my treasure is. That's where your treasure is. Earthly speaking, a lot of things here that we have our heart in, that's our treasure. But above that is supposed to be God. Yeah. Love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, all our being. By the way, you can love your family more if you love God first. Right. That's true. Yes, that's true. And so I think about that as I think about the giving, and I'll be saying things about it from time to time. I've never been one to talk a lot about giving. I preach the Bible, and a preacher can't preach the Bible if he don't preach giving. I mean, it is a proper way. I hate the fact that it's faked up today. I hate the fact that it's abused. I hate the fact that the con men are out there and all the stuff they do, because that hurts the genuine. It always hurts the genuine. And so we've had the fakers on TV and otherwise, but that's not new. Did you ever read in the Bible where Judas had the bag and he was a thief?
Right.
So Jesus had the same problem. But we all by nature are somewhat covetous. Somebody said a baby is born with a clenched fist. And sometimes an old man in his death will have his fist clenched. Truth is, you're not going to take it with you. I heard Lester Roloff on the radio this morning saying the Indians wanted to go to the happy hunting ground, and sometime they have their tomahawks and bow and arrows and ponies buried with them. But guess what? They stayed in the ground. And that's still the way it is. I think about a rich man that had a gold-colored Cadillac, and they say he didn't have to wear glasses because he had the windshield of the car honed to the specification of what his glasses would have been. Bunch of junk. But he died. But his request was that he be buried in his Cadillac. So they had a crane out there and dug a big hole, and they had him sitting in the Cadillac, and they lowered him into the grave. And some of the bystanders, one of the bystanders was overheard to say, boy, ain't that living. No, it's dying. You're dead, man, whether you're in a Cadillac or a pine box, you know. But society's thinking really gets funny sometime about this thing. But, yeah, there's the fakers. There's the covetous nature of man. We all got to watch out for that. There's no doubt about it. But the purpose behind our giving shows God we love him, but it shows we love his cause. We love what he is doing to reach souls and keep them out of hell. That's what missions is about over here on the mission gauge. What is this about? Well, let me put it this way. If we had not bought property and built buildings, we would have not been able to grow strong enough to send the missionaries, to send out the buses, to send out the soul winners. So all the package still has is the bottom line, reaching souls. And when it's training people after they are saved, it's still the big purpose is to get them to be able to reach souls and to multiply. So when we give, we're giving to his cause, and that's his plan. It was his plan in building the tabernacle here for his people to give. And God said, I want them to do it willingly. According to the literal verse we read, God was saying, I don't want those to give that will do it grudgingly. I don't want those to give that are just going to do it because they feel the pressure to do it. And I fear some of that happens. Some of that happens. I remember a man one time in this town that when we were originally selling some of the bonds to build the first original building, which is part of this one before we enlarged it. And he'd had the pressure put on him by one of our members, and he didn't like it. But I'll never forget, he called me on the telephone. He said, bring that stuff down here. I got to have some of them. I was selling the bonds. I said, what are you talking about? Well, you know, and Sister so-and-so said if I didn't buy some of those bonds, she was going to take her business away from me. That was pressure. And I knew the lady was talking about it, and I suspected she did just that. But anyway, in fact, I know she did it. So I went down there, and I said, well, what'd she ask you to do? And he said, I forget what it was. It was a couple of $1,000 bonds, I think. And he said, I'll buy them. I said, and I was honest with him. I said, I don't like your attitude. I don't think I want to sell them to you. I don't want you to buy them just because you've been made to. Oh, you got to let me have them or she'll take her business away from me. We went around like that, and I left them with him. And he gave me the money. Many years later, I was talking to him. And he said, you remember Sister So-and-so? I said, yep. She's been in heaven a long time. And he said, you remember when she made me buy those bonds? And I said, yeah, I want to ask you a question. Did you get hurt by them? He said, no, it was really a good investment. But he bought them not willingly. It was under pressure. And God said he didn't want that. He wanted somebody's heart in it. He wanted the right attitude toward it. That is important, folks. If you're going to get to heaven and find out what you did that had any lasting value to it, it's going to have to check the motive out behind it. It's going to have to be a good motive behind it. And our purpose of raising money, whether it's to pay off the mortgage or to send the missionary, it's the cause of Christ that's behind it. And it's the need that we have today to reach others. But that's where the heart of the Lord is at. Where is God's heart? It's reaching the lost. If it wasn't, he would have given his son to die on the cross of Calvary, pay a price like he paid. Somebody has made the statement that God only had one son, and he sent him as a missionary. And he did. He sent him into this old sin-cursed world to redeem us, to shed his blood that the young folks were singing about earlier tonight. And so then he gives us the command after we're saved to pass it on. And that's what all the rest of the purpose is. And to worship God involves some giving, no doubt about it. And I thank God through the years here, we have seen God's blessing, because this will not be the first time we've ever tried to ask for a special offering. It'll not be the first time we've asked folks to give and give till they felt it and give sacrificially. But I am not asking anybody. I'm not making you even this promise. I'm not going to stand up here like some con man on TV and say, you give and God's going to give you 10, you give 1,000, God's going to give you 10,000 back. Maybe he's not. That's up to God and you. I'm not making no stupid promises like that. That is not right. I do believe God honors them that honor him. I do believe you can't outgive the Lord. I believe what the Bible says about it. But you don't give to make a profit. I really have a man in mind right now from many years ago. He professed to get saved. And of course, he heard the preacher preach on tithing, and that's in the Bible, to tithe. And so, I don't know what kind of preaching he heard, but here's the way he heard it, whether it was said this way or not. He heard, if I tithe, everything's going to fall in place. I'm going to get rich. And in about 4 weeks of trying to tithe, he quit. And he said, the reason I quit was I should have had a new car by now. Listen, don't you think God knows that if you're trying to pull a con on him, use him, pull a scheme like that? That's wrong motive I'm talking about. God says right here, willingly, willingly, willingly. And that's so important. So the purpose is to get the gospel out. The price of giving, I don't know all these Israelites. They did bring wealth out of Egypt. But I don't know how many of them had to give up a lot of it and maybe even have a need. I don't know. But what I like about it, in verse 5 there, it was from among you. From among you. It was there already. They didn't have to go out and hide. It wasn't hidden behind a bush. They didn't have to dig a hole behind a rock to find it. They already had it. Now think about the preacher that was raising a building fund offering. And he got up and said, folks, I got good news for you. We have got the money for the building fund. We have got the money. And everybody, good. He said, now the sad news is you still got it in your pocket. Now there's a little logic truth to that, amen. Yeah, it is among us. Are we willing to, with the right will and heart, turn loose of it? Is that where our treasure is? That's where our heart is. You have so many cases in the Bible. You have the case of David, for instance, in 2 Samuel 24. And David made the statement he would not give that didn't cost him something. There's a lot of folks who have the attitude, well, if I don't need it. But David said, I won't sacrifice. That was what he's talking about, the giving. He said, I'll not sacrifice that cost me nothing. It's easy to pass on that just fell out of the sky and you grabbed it. It's not going to happen that way very often. But to turn loose of that you'll miss, and you will miss it. Again, it has to do with your attitude. If you have the right attitude, a willing attitude, there's a sense that you don't miss it. There's a sense that you got peace about it. There's a sense you feel good about it. I think about the true story. A missionary went over the field. Another missionary was already there. He went over to join him in the work. And he saw a younger man pulling a plow with the older man. The younger man had actually taken the ox's place and pulling the plow. And the new missionary said, look at that. Isn't that terrible? That young man's having to pull the plow like an ox. And the older missionary said, you need to understand something. They had an ox. They had an ox. And we were taking up this special offering, this special need, and they donated the ox. So that's why the young man, the son, now is pulling the plow. And the new missionary said, oh, that's terrible. How awful. And the old missionary said, you don't understand. They were happy they had an ox they could give. Now, we're talking about being willing. We're talking about motive behind it all. And this is not amen, shouting, preaching, but I want to tell you, it is Bible. That's what David said. I'll not sacrifice that cost me nothing. That kind of an attitude. It has to do with our love for the Lord, no doubt about it. And while we would love enough, and hopefully and rightfully so, to take care of our families, we've moved to a culture in America today where you don't even see that practiced very well anymore. It's such an awful thing, but it's a natural thing. Should be a natural thing for a father to want to take care of his kids, a husband to take care of his wife. That's always been our background and foundation in America. It's slipped a lot today, no doubt about it. But then our love to the Lord ought to even exceed that. We love him because he what? First loved us, right? Scripture also says we are bought with a price, that we're not our own. And those kind of things makes giving easy. I feel sorry for somebody that actually has such a covetous nature that they resent even when they've done, even when they've given, they resent it. that's too bad when that happens. But the promise of the Bible on giving, look at it here again in chapter 36, Exodus, verse 5 and 7 again. They spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough. That's because they came with such a willing attitude. It was more than enough. And it says in verse 7, the stuff they had was sufficient. Sufficient. It covered it. It more than covered it. It was too much. But the truth is, where did their stuff come from? Well, let's go back. They left Egypt. Wealthy, really, because the Egyptians was glad enough to get rid of them. They just give them their stuff. But let me ask you this. Who put in the Egyptians' heart to give them that stuff? Had to be God. It was God that delivered them from Egypt. It was God that loaded them up with wealth before they left Egypt, right? And so where do I get what I give back to God? I get it from him. So I worked for it. Well, who gave you the breath to breathe and the strength to earn it? God. So we get a hold of that, and you'll get that old monkey off your back about being greedy and covetous if you just get a hold of what God may, and I believe quite often with people, gives more through a person than he will to a person. It's like if they grab and hold on to it, it stops up the flow. Amen. Stops up the pipe of blessing. But if they let it pass on through, then God keeps on giving it, and we keep on using it like he wants us to. That would be the story of my testimony. And Sonia and I met, and she was saved, and I wasn't, and then I got saved, and you've heard me tell she had to answer the question for me after I'd heard an evangelist, a good evangelist, preach on the subject of tithing. And we got in the car and started home, and I said, what's that teething business he's talking about? I'd just been saved. She said, well, he didn't say teeth, he said tithe. And I've said this before, but I know right where my car was. She was sitting right over there. And when I asked her the question, I could see her stiffen up just a little bit. I knew I had said something. She just stiffened up. Now, here's why she stiffened up. Oftentimes, our attitude toward giving really reflects whether we love God in our heart or not. So she gave me the straight answer right out of the Bible. She told me. And I asked her that question. She said, he said tithing. I said, what's tithe? She said, it's 10%. And I said, is it in the Bible? That was my next question. Is it in? She said, yes, it is. From that moment on, I started tithing off my race car earnings, and even tithed off my partner, whether he knew it or not. He finally found it out. But I tithed off the gross because I asked her the question. I said, is that before they take out on your paycheck? And she said, well, I always practice giving it before it's taken out, giving off the gross. So I did. And the next time I settled up with my business partner on the hot rod, he said, it's not all there. Oh, I forgot I tithed off of that. Tithed off of it before I split it between he and I. He didn't like that, but he kept tithing. He didn't like it, but he didn't want to drive the car either. So he kept tithing. That's a true story, folks. That's an abbreviation of it. That's a true story. And I learned way back. And I think it is a grace that God gives you to have a good attitude, a willing attitude toward it. I do. But I think it's also a proof of the pudding. Really where your heart's at. Really who you love. And if you love him that first loved us. Remember Romans 8:32. He's already given us his best. It says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him give us all things? If God's already given me his best, how come I can't trust him for less than his best? Which he gave his best when he gave Jesus. I just had giving on my heart tonight, so I covered some old territory there with you. But I want you to make it a matter of prayer. I want this to be a great month. Let's pray for good weather on that day. Let's pray that we'll get the buses back up, that we'll get back to work, and we'll get everybody we can invited. And on the last of the month, which will be the 29th, last Sunday in the month, will be Anniversary Sunday. On that Sunday, and I'll be talking about it some in the announcements every week now, I'm going to be asking that on that Sunday, the 29th, not only did we try to have a great attendance, and we've come up around 3,000 the last several years for total attendance, and we're hoping we can do that again. But along with that, I'm going to be asking that Sunday that we all give a special extra offering to jumpstart the gauge and then carry it on through the rest of the year. And that's the plan. I don't care. In fact, I want you to help me share the plan with anybody. You say, well, just church members. We'll take Al Capone's money if he'll come in here and put it in the offering plate. Amen. If he comes up from the dead and brings it in, we'll take it, because we're gonna take it from the devil and use it for God. Amen. Amen. That's the way we think about it. You're not going to have much of that. It's rare that somebody gives that don't have their heart in the right place. They may tip around a little bit, but if they really give, they got their heart in the right place. Yeah. That's the way it works. And pray about it, because again, what's the big cause? It's God's cause. It's to tell the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Amen. All right, let's stand. And Brother Hector, choir practice? Choir practice tonight. Now, I happen to know, because I've been here, he has not worked you hard on choir practice. He's let you have off during the holidays. So please respond and fill up the choir for him tonight, okay? Father, may you add your blessings. We thank you for Christ. And Father, we know.